Good morning. This week we are learning Brachos Daf Mem Vav. The Daf HaShavua is sponsored by David and Paula Baumzer and Elmo Construction, as well as Bagel Munch. And we are continuing on in the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos, as we began last week, talking about the halachos of Zimun. And last week we spoke about the source of Zimun from perhaps Godel Hashem Iti and Ramash Mayachtov or Kishem Hashem Ekra Avogodel Elokeinu. We spoke about whether you need three people to do Zimun or perhaps even just two people can voluntarily do Zimun. We also spoke about the concept of if you have three people who are eating together and two guys are ready to do Zimun, that the third Echad, the last individual, has to stop his meal and join everybody else in the Zimun. We're going to start in the very bottom of Mem Hei Amid Beis, where we concluded talking about answering Amen to your own bracha. We had two different braisos. One braisa said that it's great to say Amen to your own bracha, harisa meshubach. Other braisa said that it is not so good, it's meguna. And we said, lo kasha, ha bebonei Yerushalayim, ha b'shar brachos. As we know, when we bench, and we say bonei Yerushalayim, we do answer Amen to our own bracha. But by other brachos, it would be meguna, it would be inappropriate. So continuing from the third to bottom line of Menahem and Beis, Abaye anile bikala kihechi delishmeu poalim vilikomu datov ametiv lavdo reisa. So Abaye, when he said Amen to Bonei Yerushalayim, everyone agrees you should say Amen to Bonei Yerushalayim, and Abaye would say it super loud, super strong, so everybody could hear, because it's important for the workers to know that we are currently up to the final bracha of Hatov Ametiv, which is only a Derabanan bracha. And as we learned back on Daf Tes Zayin about how workers, their time is so precious and they're on the clock. They can't just go benching a super long benching. So the Gemara had said earlier that workers should stop benching at Bonei Yerushalayim. The last bracha is only Derabanan. They should skip that one. And so therefore Abaye would say Amen super loud so all the workers should know this is the end of the Doraisa part of benching and the workers should go back to work. They shouldn't be saying this final bracha of Atov Ametiv. All the people who are workers in this room should not take this halacha lamaisa. Our bosses are more understanding of our time, we waste a lot more time than the time that it takes to say Hatov Ametiv. But at the time of the Gemara, that was the halacha for the Poalim. That's why Abaye would say Amen super loud, as opposed to Ravashi. Ravashi anile belechisha ki hechi delo nizalzlu v'atov ametiv. And Ravashi would say Amen quietly because it's a little of a zilzal. It's kind of degrading to that bracha v'atov ametiv to kind of point out every time you're benching, hey, this last bracha doesn't really matter. According, it's only the rabbis that made this one up. So he would say quietly. You wouldn't want to emphasize the fact that atov ametiv is super different. So does that halacha apply lamaisa about saying should we be saying Amen quietly when we say benching? The Shulchan Aruch says yes. Shulchan Aruch says quote this halacha about saying Amen quietly. The Ramah says that if you're in it with a group of people, so if you're like benching in the Zimun and you say Bnei Yerushalayim Amen, so everybody's going to say Amen to your own bracha. So it doesn't sound like you're making a unique halacha that you're going to uniquely say Amen to your own bracha over here because your Amen gets drowned out by everybody else. But the Bach says it doesn't apply at all nowadays because the only reason that way would be a zilzal is because the workers, the halacha is that the workers don't say Hatov Ametiv, and that's why everyone has this negative view of Hatov Ametiv. And that's why in the times of the Gemara, it was a zilzal to point out the fact that Hatov Ametiv is different. But nowadays, no one even knows that workers aren't supposed to say Hatov Ametiv. No one even feels that it's degrading to the bracha to say Amen at the end of Bonei Yerushalayim. And so some aren't so strict to say it quietly. Some are okay saying it out loud. But this whole concept of saying Amen to your own bracha. So we said that Bonei Yerushalayim, yes. Other brachos, no. So Rashi and Tosafot have a machlokes about what exactly it means when we say that Bonei Yerushalayim, you say Amen to your own bracha. Rashi says not only Bonei Yerushalayim, really other Bonei Yerushalayim type of bracha. Other brachos that kind of end the series of a series of brachos, when you get to that final bracha, you should say Amen to that final end of the series of brachos. So Bnei Yerushalayim is an example. After you said all the brachos of benching, Bnei Yerushalayim is the last of the series, you should say Amen. But also other brachos like Berchos Kriyashma, Rashi points out. And perhaps other examples as well. Whereas Tosfos say no. The Gemara says Bnei Yerushalayim, and it's only Bnei Yerushalayim. And so the Ramah, so Ashkenazim would assume that the Ramah paskins like Tosfos, that only Bnei Yerushalayim, and that's it. That's the only example when you're going to say Amen to your own bracha. But for Sfardim, it's a lot more complicated. The Sfardim paskin, similar to Rashi, they're not just Bnei Yerushalayim, but other times that it's like the end of a series of brachos. So I know Sfardim say, I'm not fully holding in what Sfardim do, but Sfardim say Amen at the end of Yeshtabach, for example. It's kind of the end of the series of Pesukah de Zimra, they also say Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad Amen at the end of Mariv. Azar of Avaji has a tshuva about at the end of Berachos Haftorah as well. It's also an example when you're saying a whole series of brachos. So you said one bracha number one, number two, number three, and now you're done. So you should say aloud Amen at the end to kind of symbolize that you're at the end of the series. So other examples. Even for your own bracha, yeah. So Agmar is saying you say Amen to your own bracha when it's the end of a series, and not only Bnei Yerushalayim, perhaps other examples as well, and that's, I think, how Sfardim are no hate. Let's keep going on now on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Rav Zera Chalash, Rav Zera got sick, Oleg Aver Rav Yavo. Rav Yavo visited him, and Kabil Aleh, and he took the following vow, and he said, E Mitpach Katina Charech Saki, if Rav Zera gets better, who gets better? Katina Charech Saki, the short one who has burnt legs. The Gemara in Bava Metzia that Rashi refers to points out how Rav Zera would kind of test his ruchnius level by jumping into hot ovens and to see if the fire would burn him. And usually it didn't, which is a pretty impressive trick. Usually he jumped in the oven and it wouldn't burn him. There was one time when other rabbis walked by and they looked at him and gave him an ayin hara that it did burn him. So that one time it didn't work out too well, but usually it did. And from that one time, so they have that nickname for him that he's the short guy who has the burnt legs. But so he was sick over here, and so the Chida says that Rav Ashi or Rav Ahu called him this name to kind of recognize his zechuyos about how tremendous of a gadol Rav Zera is. That should hopefully be a zechus for a refuah shalema. So avidna yoma tova l'rabana. If Rav Zera gets better, I'm going to make a whole seudas hoda that he got better, and then itbach he got better. So avat seudasa l'kulhu rabanan. He made a seuda for all the rabanan to come over. And Kimatol Mishri, when it was time to start the meal and to say, Hamotzi, Amalei Rabzera, Lishri Lan Mar. So Rabbi Yavo said to Rabzera, you should lead the initial Hamotzi to start the meal. Amalei Rabzera responded, Lo Sover Lamar, Lahadar of Yochanan to Amar, Bala Bayis Botseya. Don't you hold of what Rav Yochanan says, that the Bala Bayis is supposed to be Botseya. This is your house, this is your meal. You should be the one who's going to lead the meal and say the Hamotzi for everybody and break out the bread and hand out the bread. So Sharalahu, so that therefore Rabbi Yavo said, fine, you're right, I'll be the one to do the Hamotzi. The Rishonim talk about why Rabbi Yavo even thought to offer it to Rabbi Zera. Doesn't he know this halacha? The Bala Bayis is supposed to be the one who does the Hamotzi. So the Rashba gives a very mistaber answer. The Rashba says, this whole meal is for Rabbi Zera. He is the Bala Suda because it's all because Rabbi Zera got better. We're having a whole meal to celebrate Rabbi Zera getting better. So he's the man of the show. So it makes sense for him perhaps to be the one to lead the meal. But no, the halacha is that the Bala Bayis is Botseya. The Bala Bayis, the one who's the head of the house, he's the one to say, Hamotzi. I thought it was such a funny thing to see now. The Baal HaTurim on this week's Parsha, on Parsha's Vayera, the Baal HaTurim says, I found a source. I found a source for this halacha that the Gemara says that Baal HaBayis Botseya, Baal HaBayis is supposed to be the one who says the Hamotzi and hands out the bread. The Baal HaTurim says from this week's Parsha with Avraham. What does it say by Avraham? It says that he gave them bread. It doesn't say that they got bread for themselves. It says, Ve'ekha. I'll get you the bread because it says brachas membav that the Baal HaBayis is supposed to be the one who gets the bread. It's always funny when you have something like that. We had that once, I think, on like Tesvav. We were talking about how you're supposed to hear yourself when you make when you say Shema and you daven. And I saw a Sifzeh Chachamim that says that Moshe did that when like the frogs were like croaking and he had to daven extra loud. It's always fun to like find like a Parsha Hashavua tidbit that connects Daf Hashavua. And so that's the halacha Baal HaBayis is Botseya. And so the story continues. Sharalahu, that Rabbi Vahu then began the meal and did the Hamotzi. Kimato levruche, now it's time to bench. Amale nivrach lamar. He said, Rab Zero, why don't you lead the benching? Amale lo sava lamar, lahadar Rav Huna, demin bavel, da amar botseya mivarich. Don't you hold that Rav Huna says, the guy who did the Hamotzi should also lead the benching. So the Ihu commands Virole, what did Rabbi Yavo hold that he thought Rabbi Zera could lead the benching? Kihad Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Bala Bayis Botseya Ve'oreach Mevarich. The halacha is that the Baal HaBayis is the one who does the Hamotzi at the beginning of the meal, but the Oreach is Mevarich. The guest is the one who is allowed to do the benching. What's the reason? Baal HaBayis Botseya Kidei Sheyivtza Ba'ayin Yafeh. The Baal HaBayis is the one who does the Hamotzi and hands out the bread because this way he'll be comfortable to be generous with all the portions. If you're a guest at someone's house and you're giving out, you're divvying up the challah, you're like, I don't know how much, like, do they have a second roll that they're going to take out if they finish this one? You're a little more hesitant, but if you're the Baal HaBayis, you're going to be, you'll be more comfortable and more generous. But the Oreach leads the benching. Oreach mevarich. Why? Kedei sheyevarich Baal HaBayis, so that they can give a bracha to the Baal HaBayis during his benching, during Birchas Hamazon. My mevarich, what bracha? So some of us are probably familiar with this following Yehi Ratzon. It's in most of the benches now. That the Balabayas shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed in this world or the next. And Rebbe Mosifa, Rebbe added to the Yehi Ratzon, Dvarim, additional words, that Vigitzlach Me'od Bechon Achasav, he should have Atzlacha with all of his Parnasa, V'Nechasav V'Nechasenu Mutzlachim V'Krovim La'ir, he should, his business dealings should be with Atzlacha and close by. You shouldn't have a long commute, and ours also. The Al Yishlot Satan Lob Masayadav Lob Masayadenu, and the Satan shouldn't control any of the things that we're involved with or that he's involved with. But Al Yizdaker Lob Lefanav Lob Lefanu Shum Devar Hirur Chay Vavav Yom Yatav Yad Olam, and you shouldn't have any Hirur Chayt or Hirur Avon, any thought of sin shouldn't be attached to you. Me'ata v'yad olam, for all time. So that's why the Gemara says that the Balabayas leads the Hamotzi, but the guest should lead the benching, because he should be able to say this bracha in the benching. The Gemara is assuming that not everyone at the table is going to make their own individual Birkas Hamazon. You're going to have one guy bench, and everyone else is going to be Yotze through him. So if the host is going to lead benching, he's not going to bless himself, so no one's going to end up saying this Yehi Ratzon. But if the guest leads the benching, he's the one making the benching for the table, he'll be able to include this bracha. For us nowadays, that isn't make a difference, because either way, even if someone else who's the host is benching, you could still put it into your personal Shemoneh Esrei. But it still seems that people are nohig to have the guest lead the benching, lead the zimun, even though this particular svara isn't still applicable. Because of Zerah, thought the Balabaya should lead it. Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, I guess he wasn't familiar with this bracha.
What's
good question.
Interesting is, growing up, I never even heard of this bracha.
I know.
In the last 10 or 10, 15 years, I'm sure all of a sudden
went viral. Yeah. Right, yeah. Like, I've heard stories of people like taking out a Shulchan Aruch and like opening up to be able to say the Yehi Ratzon, and like, yeah, that's not our days anymore. It's all, yeah, all the art school ventures have it in there. Okay, let's keep going. At the two dots. Ad heichan birkas hazimun. How long into the benching is considered birkas hazimun? So what exactly is the Gemara's question? We'll have two different approaches, and we'll see what the question is. Rav Nachman Amar ad nevarich, just the Zimun part, until mevarich shachan mishlov tevo chayinu. Rav Sheshes Amar ad hazan, the whole first bracha from benching is part of birkas hazimun. Rashi has a surprising explanation of what the Gemara is saying over here. Rashi says the Gemara is asking ad heichan birkas hazimun, how much of benching do you need a zimun in order to recite? And if you're individual, if you're a non-zimun guy, just benching on your own, how much can you not include in your personal benching? Which means Rav Nachman is not so crazy. Rav Nachman says the Zimun part, what we know as the Zimun part of benching, that's the part that you need to have a Zimun of three or more for. The rest you start with Hazanas HaOlam when you're in benching B'Yechidus. But Rav Sheshes Amar Hazan Ad Hazan, Rashi would say that means that if you are benching on your own without a group of people, without a Zimun, you start from Nodalecha. According to Rashi's explanation of this machlokes, Rav Sheshes holds that the first bracha of benching is only said when you have a zimun. And Tosfos says, that's crazy. There are three brachos that are mita oraisa in benching. How could it possibly be that an individual is just going to skip the bracha of hazan, the first deoraisa of the three? It's a third of the deoraisa part of benching. It makes no sense. And Tosfos also points out, people don't do that. People are clearly, even in Tosfos' time, beichidus, that individuals are all saying benching from the beginning, like we all do. How could it possibly be that Rashi is going to explain that our Gemara is actually saying that an individual benches that out of Zimun should start from Nodalecha? It seems wild, and so Tosfos gives his own pshat. Tosfos explains, they give their own pshat, and they say that perhaps the Gemara is going back to what we spoke about last week, about the concept of how if you have three guys who are leading who are eating together, two guys are ready to bench, and one guy is not. So the halacha is that one guy has to put down his sandwich, listen to their zimun, and then eventually he can go back and eat his sandwich and continue. So how long does he have to wait, sitting there, twiddling his thumbs, and until he can actually go back and continue his meal? That's the machlokes according to Tosfos. That Rav Nachman says all you have to do is just wait until the zimun part's over, until they say nevreish chamish lov tevo chayinu. Boom, you can go back to continue your meal. And Rav Sheshes says no, ad hazan. You have to wait until they finish the whole first bracha of benching. And that the Rashi version of this machlokes I don't think is brought up anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, but Tosfos' pshat is brought up in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rav Nachman that it's just the first zimun part of benching that really counts. And after the Zimun is over, even when they're saying the first bracha benching, you can continue eating. But the Ramah paskins like Rav Sheshes. The Ramah says that you have to wait the whole first bracha of Hazan. That's really what would be preferable to do. If you're going to wait for other people to finish their to do the Zimun and go back to your meal, you shouldn't go back to your meal until they have finished the whole first bracha. So that's perhaps a machlokas over here, both say with Rashi. Rashi says the Gemara is asking, how much is considered the berachas hazimun? How much of benching can you only say with the zimun, and you can't say if you're only b'yichidus? Rav Nachman says just the zimun part, ad nevarich. And Rav Sheshes says, no, the whole first bracha, ad hazan. Gemara says, nema ketanoi, maybe it's the machlokas tanoim. The tani chad, berachas hamazon shnayim vishlosha. One brisa says that benching is two or three, which Rashi says means it's either two brachos or three brachos. But tanya idach, a separate brisa says, shlosha ve'arba, that benching is either three brachos or four brachos. So Savruha, the Kule Alma, Tov HaMetiv, Lav Deoraisa. Everyone agrees that Tov HaMetiv is not Deoraisa. And therefore, when we're counting the number of brachos in these brisos, either it's two or three or four, that's not counting HaTov HaMetiv. So how do we understand the machlokas? So Maila Abahakam Yiflegi, they're arguing about this machlokas of Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Mada Amar Shtayim V'Shalosh, Kasavar Ad Hazan. The one who holds that it's either two brachos or three brachos holds that hazan, the whole first bracha of benching, is considered for the zimun. So if you're at the zimun, you'll say three brachos of benching, like a normal person we would know now, would say hazan, alar zalamazon, and then bonei yushalayim. But when do you say two? You only say two if you're without a zimun. You're going to start from nodalacha and skip the first bracha. That's how you understand the first bracha that says two or three. Amanda amar shalosh viarba kasavar ad nevarech. Mono says three or four holds that no, the Zimun is just that Zimun part. And the four brachos are either the first bracha from the Zimun section of the benching, and then the three, when you have a Zimun, you have the regular three brachos plus the Zimun or Bosayin of Areich, or you just have the three. If you're outside of Zimun, you'll have three, the regular three brachos of benching. So perhaps the machlokas, whether it's two and three, or it's three or four, is machlokas Rav Nachman versus Rav Sheshes. Gemara says, lo, really everybody can read any brisa. Rav Nachman mataritz l'tamei, Rav Sheshes mataritz l'tamei. Rav Nachman mataritz l'tamei, Rav Nachman can explain either brisa according to his shita, the kulei alma ad nevarich. Everyone agrees like Rav Nachman that the zimun is just the zimun part of benching until nevarich sha'achal mishalov tevo chayinu. Mada amar shalosh bi'arba shapir, as you already explained, the brisa that says either three or four works out fine, right? It's three if you're outside of zimun and four if you're with the zimun, the three brachos of benching plus the Rabbosayim of Areich, the Zimun part, Umanda Amar Shtayim Vishalosh. How could Rav Nachman explain the sheet, the brisa that says benching is either two brachos or three brachos? So Amalacha, Hacha, the Berchas Pole Maskinan. This is talking about the workers that we started off with. That either it's three brachos, like a regular guy who benches three regular brachos, or it's two, because the workers, they come, we didn't mention this part before, but they combine the Bonei Yushalayim and Ares Velamazon brachos. So we have three brachos, one, two, three. The workers say one, and then two and three are kind of combined into one bracha together. So as it says, Amar Mar, Poseach Behazan, the Kol Al Bonei Yushalayim Beberchas Haaretz. They say Hazan, bracha number one, and they combine brachos number two and number three together. That's how a worker has two brachos. A regular non-worker will have three brachos. That's how Rav Nachman can explain all the brachos, and also Rav Sheshes Mataritz Tamei. He can also explain all the brachos according to his shita. The Kuli Alma Ad Hazan. Everyone agrees that the benching is until that the Zimun continues through the first bracha. Ma'ada Amar Shtayim Mishaldo Shap Birlun, that says that it's either two brachos or three brachos. Makes sense. It's two brachos if you're outside of Zimun. You're going to start from Noda Lecha according to Rav Sheshes, and three when you're with the Zimun. You say the whole three brachos of benching. And the other brisa, manda amar shalosh v'arba, that says either benching is three brachos or four brachos. So kasavar hatov v'hametiv d'oraisa hi. He actually will hold that hatov v'hametiv is d'oraisa. And so when we said either two brachos or three brachos meant the zimun, which is the first one, and then the other, including hatov v'hametiv as well. Yeah, that'd be the fourth before brachos of benching would be including hatov v'hametiv as well. What's fascinating about the way the Gemara assumes over here that we're only counting when we say benching is either two brachos or three brachos, or maybe it's four brachos. The Gemara is very clear that we're only counting Deoraisa brachos. If Hatov Vametiv is Derabanan, that's not included in our counting of the brachos. If Hatov Vametiv is Deoraisa, then it is included in the counting of our brachos. And this Gemara, the Mefarshim in the back in the Yalkut, say this Gemara is a strong supporter for the fact that Zimun may even be a din Deoraisa. Because everyone's counting Zimun in the number of brachos over here, and we're only counting Deoraisa brachos, it seems that perhaps Zimun actually would be a din Deoraisa. We did also quote Psukim. it's also perhaps those are asmachtas, and it's only the Rabbanan. But in that conversation, this Gemara seems to be in support of the Shita, that Zimun is actually a din d'oraisa.
Is this sukkah the basis for saying, if you're leading the Zimun, that you say to put bracha aleph?
Ah, because it goes through Hazan.
Yeah.
Maybe. That's a good question. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, yeah, this Shita of saying that Birchas HaZimun continues through Hazan, and the fact that, as you said in Tosfos, that the Gemara is talking about how long you have to wait, it definitely seems that listening to the first bracha is because the first bracha is really connected to the Zimun. So yeah, I think that is part of the reason why. Yeah, great point. So Gemara now continues talking about HaTov HaMeitiv and how it's absolutely, definitely not d'oraisa. The first proof the Gemara gives, Amar of Yosef, Teda da Tov HaMeitiv Lav D'Oraisa, Shaharei Poalim Okrimosa. The Gemara first has a proof that says, HaTov HaMeitiv is not D'Oraisa. How do I know that it must be a Dirabanan Bracha? Because after all, the Poalim skipped that Bracha. How could they just go around skipping D'Oraisa Brachos? It must be, if we tell the workers they should skip HaTov HaMeitiv, it must be the rabbis only have the ability to tell the workers to skip a Bracha, if that bracha is a bracha midrabanan. How could the rabbis uproot a din d'oraisa? Rav Akiva Eiger asks, that actually happens all the time. The rabbanan do uproot a d'oraisa. That's a klal called that yesh koch bechacham lakod of min haTorah. The chachamim have the ability to uproot dinim d'oraisa. For example, shofar Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos. Midoraisa, you should have to blow the shofar on Shabbos. And the chachamim say, don't blow the shofar because you may come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah and you're going to violate chotzah. There are times when the chachamim do tell us to not do a mitzvah, even though it should be required midoraisa. They do have the ability to uproot d'oraisas. So is it so shocking that the chachamim can say that the workers should skip HaTov HaMeitiv even if it's d'oraisa? So if Soloveitchik and Rishima Shiurim says that perhaps the Gemara's proof is, if really it's d'oraisa, so fine, the Chachamim can uproot d'oraisas. But if you have four brachos that are all d'oraisa, so how could the Chachamim go and choose and say, oh, workers, you have to skip, benching is too long, you have to skip a bracha? How do they pick which one to skip? How do they all agree they should skip HaTov HaMeitiv? Maybe you should skip Hazan, Alar Tzal HaMazon, Bonei Yerushalayim. How do they choose HaTov HaMeitiv being the one that the workers should skip? It must be, even if they are all D'oraisa, it wouldn't make sense that they chose this one as opposed to the other ones. It must be that this bracha stands out to the Chachamim. It has a different status as the other ones, because perhaps this one is D'rabanan, whereas the other ones are D'oraisa. That's the Gemara's first proof.
How do they have the ability to be Kolel, Al Ha'aret, and Uvneh?
Same thing. That's Regei Regei's Kasha. So Tosfos on Tezayin and Aleph asks, how could it be that they're going to combine Alar Tzal HaMazon and Bnei Yerushalayim? It must be because of the rule that Chachamim have the ability to uproot Davar Min HaTorah. Regei Regei asks, if that's true by that if that's the reason why they can combine Brachos 2 and 3, why doesn't that clearly explain how they can uproot Bracha number 4? Maybe that's exactly how Regei Regei gets to that point. Mm-hmm. It's all working within the same thing. Awesome. The Gemara now continues to another proof about how HaTov HaMeitiv must not be d'oraisa, it must be d'rabanan. And it will introduce the topic of bracha smucha lechaverta. The Gemara is gonna bring a braisa that says that all brachos that we make, every bracha that we make, needs to both start and end with a baruch. It has to have an introductory baruch and also have an ending baruch. So except for the small brachos like brachos you make on food, like Shahakani Bidvaro is such a short bracha, it has only one in, you just say one baruch, but other brachos which contain maybe other ideas are lengthier. Other brachos should both start with and end with a baruch. So, for example, Brachos HaTorah, we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we say Hashem Bachar Banu Mikol V'Amel Zonu Asaraso, again a second, Baruch Atah Hashem Nosein HaTorah, there's an introductory baruch and a conclusionary baruch. You should always have a baruch in the beginning and a baruch at the end. Though, also, for example, like the first bracha in Shmon Esrei, start off Baruch Atah Hashem, and you say Baruch Atah Hashem, you say again, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham, you have an introductory baruch, and then also a concluding baruch. The problem is, there are so many times when we don't do that. So there's another concept of bracha Hasmucha lechaverta, that if you have one baruch, you have two brachos next to one another. The first one starts off with and ends with a baruch. The second bracha doesn't need to start with a baruch because it can piggyback off of the previous one. So again, for example, Shmona Esrei, Atachonin doesn't start off with baruch, it starts off with the words Atachonin, Atachadosh, Slach Lanu. Where's the opening baruch? So that's the concept of bracha Hasmucha lechaverta. It can piggyback off of the opening baruch from the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, as long as the brachos are next to one another, the second bracha and the third bracha isn't going to need an opening baruch. It can rely on the previous one. It's also with Berachas HaMazon, what we're talking about. The first benching, the first bracha starts off with baruch. The rest just start, Noda Lecha, Rachim Na, Uvnei Yerushalayim. There's no introductory baruch because it can rely on the first one. That seems also true for Berachas Kriyas Shema and other examples. So you always need to start off with and end with a baruch, except unless it's piggybacking off of the bracha that was immediately before it. And Tosfos over here on the bottom goes through many different examples of things where it seems to be that there's no opening baruch. So how are we supposed to explain all the scenarios when there's no opening baruch to something? So for example, Elokai Neshama. We say Elokai Neshama in the morning, there's no opening baruch to that bracha. There is a concluding baruch. Machazin Neshamos Lefkarim Mesim. Where's the opening baruch for Elokai Neshama? So some siddurim, I don't think Art School does this anymore, but some Siddurim have Asher Yotzar right before. So you say Baruch, you say Asher Yotzar, the opening Baruch of Asher Yotzar. Now Elokai Neshama is Smucha Lechaverta to Asher Yotzar.
Tosos.
Oh yeah. Okay, so that's a thing that I don't know if the Siddurim have it, but people definitely do try to do that. Tosos doesn't think it necessarily works because they don't necessarily have similar topics, and they're not always next to each other. A fascinating shita that I once heard is the Ravid. Tosos Arash quotes the Ravid that Elokai Neshama is smucha lechaverta to Hamapil. Hamapil? He said Hamapil last night before he went to sleep. But there are similar topics of your neshama. Hashem gave you your neshama back. So somehow that there, even though there's quite a hefzik, that's where the Ravid says. Oh, that was a fun one. But yeah, so other examples, also like Tfilas HaDerech also come. We spoke about Tfilas HaDerech. On like Chav Tes and Daf Lamed, Tfilas HaDerech starts off Yehi Ratzon. There's no opening Baruch, and so the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Maharami Rutenberg. You should say Brain of Fashos, you should say Asher Yatzar, some other bracha beforehand to make it Smucha LeChaverta. Others don't think that necessarily makes sense because Tfilas HaDerech is about me going on the road. Asher Yatzar has nothing to do with that. It's a bracha on an apple is totally unrelated. Right, exactly. I was gonna get that. It's going to be pit stops along the way. Yeah, I shouldn't have to go to the bathroom so I can make the whole trip without having to stop. But yeah, so if they're two unrelated brachos, does that really work? Smucha lechaverta? That's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. But a bunch of different examples that come up with there. Oh, Tosfos, the most important part of Tosfos that comes is actually Lemaisa. Tosfos says, where's the smucha lechaverta for Yishtabach? Yishtabach doesn't start off with a baruch, it just says baruch at the end. Tosfos say, it's baruch sha'amar. Baruch sha'amar and Yishtabach are super connected because there's no hefzik between the two. So Psukah deZimra is considered relevant, but other conversation is not relevant, and so therefore you shouldn't have a hefzik to Baruch Sha'amar and Yishtabach because it's all smucha lechaverta. Think also about halal is the same thing, but other examples as well. So that's the whole concept of having a baruch at the beginning and the end. You don't have to if it's smucha lechaverta. So this is to say it out beforehand. So our Gemara's proof is going to be, it must be that Tova Meitiv is not the Oraisa. Because all the other brachos of benching, they don't feel the need to start with Baruch because it can rely on the first one. And yet Tova Meitiv starts with the Baruch. That's not necessary. Isn't it connected to the previous parts of benching? It must be. It's its own thing that was added on afterwards. It's a Dirabanan Bracha as opposed to, it's different than the rest of the group. That's the Gemara's proof right now. Let's read it inside. Amar of Yitzhak bar Shmuel bar Marta Mishmei Derav. Teda da Tova Meitiv la da Oraisa. How do I know that it's not the Oraisa? Try Poseach ba Baruch. Because it starts off with a baruch and it doesn't need to, as we just said, but it does not end with a baruch. Kidatanya, it says in the Braisa, Kol ha-brachos kulan, posech pen be-baruch, v'chosem be-baruch, they all brachos start with and end with a baruch, chos be-birchos ha-peros, v'birchos ha-mitzvos, except for brachos on foods and for mitzvos, which are shorter brachos, u-bracha ha-smucha le-chaverta, as we have spoke about, if it's next to a bracha that started with the baruch, it itself doesn't need to start with a baruch, and also bracha ha-achrona she-be-kriyashma, the final bracha in Kriyat Shema, which Rashi explains is just really an example of smucha lechaverta, relies on the previous brachos as well. Yesh mehen sheposeach pehen bebaruch ve'ein chosein bebaruch. Some start with baruch and don't end with baruch. Ve'yesh mehen shechosein pehen bebaruch ve'ein poseach bebaruch. And some end with baruch and don't have an opening. Baruch, I just said smucha lechaverta. Ve'atov ha'ametiv poseach bebaruch ve'ein chosein bebaruch. Why mechlal te bracha b'fnei atzmuhi? Doesn't that imply that it's its own bracha? And that's why it can't rely on the baruch from the previous bracha and benching, because it's its own thing, it's a different status, it's a din derabanan, it's totally separate. That's the Gemara's second proof that it's derabanan. Number one is, how could the workers skip it? It must be it's derabanan. Number two, why does it start off with a baruch? Why isn't it smucha lechaverta? It must be it's only derabanan. And on number three, Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tera datova meitiv lav da oraisa, how do I know? Shaharei okrin osa bebeis ha'avel, because they skip that bracha in an avel, in a beis ha'avel. Kedatanya, Mahim Omer and Bebesa Avel. What is included in the benching in the house of an Avel? Baruch Atov Ve'Ametiv. The first opinion says you should say Atov Ve'Ametiv. The Rabbi Kiva Omer, Baruch Dayan HaEmes. that you should only say Dayana Emes, you should skip Hatov HaMetiv. So that's what our Gemara is saying. According to Rabbi Akiva, you're going to skip Hatov HaMetiv in benching. You're going to add some sort of Dayana Emes into benching instead. It must be it's only the Derabanan if we're going to uproot it in the house of an Avel. The Gemara asks, according to the first opinion that said that you say Hatov HaMetiv in the Avel's house, Hatov HaMetiv in Dayan Emes Lo, is the first opinion saying you should say Hatov HaMetiv and you shouldn't say Dayan Emes? No. Ella Ema Af Hatov HaMetiv, it meant the first opinion was saying you should say both Dayan Emes and Hatov HaMetiv, and the second opinion is saying you should just say Dayan Emes. And so our proof is from the second, from Rabbi Akiva, that you should skip Hatov HaMetiv in the house of an Avel. It must be it's only a din Derabanan, and that's why we're allowed to skip it in the house of an Avel.
Why
isn't
there a
bracha
at the end of
the Talmud? I think it's, Tosos points out that it's all a similar, it's all really, it's a long bracha, but it's all considered one inyan of Hatova, Hashem is the Tova and the Meitiv, and afterwards they added on some more flowery Lashonos afterwards, but it's really, even though it's long in text, it really is a short bracha with one particular inyan. I think the Rishonim talk about that. Marzutra ikla lebe Rav Ashi. Marzutra visited Rav Ashi, and Isra be Milsa Rav Ashi was in Avela, something that someone had passed away in his family. Pasach ubarich hatove hametiv. So Marzutra said in front of the Avel, Rav Ashi, the following bracha, in the middle of benching, he said the following, hatove hametiv kel emes, dayan emes, Hashem is one who's as good, Hashem is the one who is the dayan emes, the true judge, shofet betzedek, lokeach mishpat, everything he does is with justice, and mishpat beshalit beolamo lasos bo keretzono. Hashem rules the world and does as he wishes. Ki chod rachav mishpat, and everything Hashem does is just. Shakol shelo, that everything is his. Va'anachnu amo va'avadav, and we're his servants and his nation. Ubechol anachnu chayavim lahodos lo olavarcho. We should, everything that happens in our lives, we should always thank Hashem and give him a bracha. Go there pirtzos be Yisrael, who yigdores hapirtza azos be Yisrael l'chaim. That Hashem is one who fixes all the holes, all the breaches that exist in Klal Yisrael. He should fix for this family as well, and it should be l'chaim. That's the bracha that should be included in benching in the house of an Avel. I think Shulchan Aruch quotes this. I don't know if people do this. I'm not sure if this is a practice, but that's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So now that's all our proofs about how Tova Ametiv must not be a Dinda Oraisa. It must be, it's really only a Dederbanan. After all, the workers skip it. After all, it does not start off with the Baruch, it's not Smucha L'Chaverta. And after all, we skip it in the house of an Avel. It must be, it's only a Bracha Midrabanan.
That will be Basleth, the Lysa.
What?
Dederbanan?
Yeah, I think so. I believe so. The Gemara later on, well, in future weeks, talks about the institution of the Bracha, about the Haruge Beitar, and the reasoning why it was instituted. I think it comes up a little more later. Mark continues now, Lahechan hu choser, that where should he go back to? A vague question, as we had two vague questions. We had Ad Hechan Berchas HaZimun, how much is considered in Berchas HaZimun, which is like a vague question that the Gemara asks. And here as well, Lahechan hu choser, where does he go back to? So Rashi and Tosos again have a machlokes about what exactly the Gemara's question is. Let's see the shita, and we'll explain it. So Rav Zvid Mishmeda Abaye Amar Choser LaRosh, VeRabbanan Amri LeMakom ShePasak. Rav Zvid says you go back to the beginning of benching. The Rabbanan say that you go LeMakom ShePasak, VeHilchasa LeMakom ShePasak, and Lacha is that you should go to the part where he stopped. So Rashi, what? Yeah, I think so.
I mean,
depends on Rav Sheshes versus Rav Nachman. Right, that's the issue. It depends on the previous machlokes.
Okay.
So Rashi says we're talking about the person who stopped for the other people at the table. So you have three guys who want a bench, two guys are ready, the third guy is not. So he stops to listen to their zimun, and assuming that he's going to be yotze benching with them, so where does he, when he finishes his meal, where does he start benching from? Can he start, if he listened to Hazan, according to Rav Sheish says, or he listened to a corner of Nachman, just the zimun part of benching, so does he continue from where the zimun left off? Or since he had a bit of a, maybe he had a hefsik in between, maybe he should go back to the beginning of benching. That's how Rashi explains the machlokas. Tosos explains, this is talking about just the text of the Zimun of the Rabbasai Nivarech as well. That instead. Rather, according to Tosos, Machlokes is about what is the text of Zimun. So the person leading the Zimun says, Nivarech Shachan Mishalo Uftuvo Chayinu, and then everybody else responds, Baruch Shachan Mishalo Uftuvo Chayinu. So when you respond, when the leader of the Zimun says that final line, is his final line also like everybody else? Is it Makom Shepasak? Does he also say, Baruch Shachan Mishalo Uftuvo Chayinu? Or is he Choser LaRosh? Does he go back back to what he originally said and say, Nivarech Shachan Mishalo Uftivo Chayinu. So it's a machlokes as to whether the final line of the Zimun that the head of the Zimun says, is it as we say, Baruch Shachan Mishalo Uftivo Chayinu, which would be Makom Shapasak, which works out with what the Gemara says is the Hilchasa, or is it this Chosel Rosh, as he used the Lashon that he used before, of Nivarech Shachan Mishalo Uftivo Chayinu. So again, a vague question in the Gemara and a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos about how exactly to understand that machlokes. Amalei Reish Galusa at the two dots that Reish Galusa said to Rav Sheshes. The Gemara is now going to talk about the etiquette of the Haseba that they had in the times of the Gemara and how they ate their meals. The Reish Galusa said to Rav Sheshes, Afagav de Rabbanon Kishishi Asun, even though you rabbis are very old and very wise, Parsai Betzarche Seuda Biki'i Minaychu. The Persians, in the way that they eat their meals, are more professional than you. They know more than you do about the proper way to eat a meal. What was the way of the Parsa'i? So, Bizman Shehein Shtei Mitos Gadol Mesev Barosh. If there are two people eating, so the Gemara is going to assume that in the times of the Gemara that they would be laying down when they ate their meals. It wasn't really like a table. Everyone had their individual tables and their individual beds, whatever the mats they had. So they would be able to be lying down when they ate their meal. And so if there are two people, meaning two beds, two people who are eating, so the gadol mesev barosh, the gadol who's the most chashuv person at the meal, he would sit in his preferred spot, and the sheni lo lamala haymenu, the second most chashuv person would sit lamala haymenu, which means at his head. So if you're laying down to eat like they did, so at your head really means behind you. My legs are in front of me, my feet, my head is behind me, and so when you're laying down, so at lamala haymenu, at his head, means really behind him, which means that he's not facing this guy at all. The guy at his feet, he's facing. The guy at his head, lamala menu, he is not facing. Ubisman, Shehem Shalosh, if there are three people eating together, so Gadol may sit the Emsa, the most Chashuv sits in the middle, Shenilo Lamala Haimenu, the second most Chashuv sits at his head behind him, and Shlishilo Lamata Haimenu, the third most Chashuv sits beneath him, meaning at his legs in front of him. That's how the Parsai would organize their meals. Let's say the Gadol, the most chashuv guy, wants to schmooze with the second most chashuv guy. He wants to talk to him about something. Let's say they want to schmooze. Matritz Terutze, he has to straighten himself. He has to stop leaning. He has to straighten himself up. V'yasev, and sit up like regular. And Mishtai Bahadei, and that's the only way you can talk to this guy. Because this guy is behind him. He isn't facing the person who's sitting. L'mala haymenu. So he has to really, we're going to make the most chashuv guy at the meal have to go through this tircha of sitting up and straightening out and turning his head in order to schmooze with the guy who's sitting in front of him, sitting behind him. So Amalei, the Reish Galusa responded, no, it wasn't a problem. Shiny Parsai dimach vilei b'mechug. It wasn't a problem for the Parsai because they were able to use these hand motions, this sign language to communicate with one another. So the Shani can ask the Gadol a question. The Gadol can respond with his hand signals, and there was no problem with the fact that they weren't facing one another. The Parsai continued. The Parsai practice continued. That Mayim Rishonim Mehechan Maschilin, who is the first one to do Mayim Rishonim at the beginning of the meal? Amar Leim in Hagadol, it should be the Gadol, the most chashuv person, should watch Tehillas Hadayim in the beginning. The Mara asks, Yashav Gadol V'yishmar Gadav Achenotlin Kulan, the Gadol is gonna, the most chashuv guy at the meal, is gonna watch Tehillas Hadayim. He's gonna have to wait at the table, quiet, silently, idly doing nothing, waiting for everybody else. Takes a long time, a lot of people. So Amar Leim, La'alter Maisu Tacha Kameh. Yeah, you should just bring his food to him first, so he doesn't have to wait. He can just start eating his meal right away, right? For us, if we're waiting, right, this is the Parsai. We're going to talk about the way that the Rabbanim would do things, but this is still the Parsai. But the discussion about who should wash first. So the Gemara says, oh, the Gadol should wash first. Just bring him his food first. But, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes that the Rush would always wash last because he didn't want to have to wait around. He thought that the Gadol should wash last. So Mishnah Berurah says that on Shabbos, when everyone, you know, no one's eating their own bread, everyone's waiting for the Lechem Mishnah. So that perhaps explains why the Rush would wash last, since he's going to be the guy who's going to be leading. He is going to wait for everybody else. So perhaps in that context, you don't have the Gemara's answer of, oh, just bring him his table first, because we're all eating at the same table. So if he's going to have to wait the longest, so perhaps it makes sense that the person who's going to be making the hamotzi should have the shortest hefsek between his washing and his hamotzi. So that's why perhaps when it comes to washing on Shabbos, the person making the hamotzi should wash last to have a smaller hefsek. But the basic halacha, as the Gemara says, that the gadol, the greatest person, should be perhaps washing first if everybody's eating individually. Mayim achronim mehechan maschilin. Who washes mayim achronim first at the end of the meal? Amalei min hakatan. It should be the least chashuv person. Vegadol yasiv veyadav mizuhamos achinotlin kulan. So the gadol is going to be waiting the whole time with dirty hands until everybody else washes mayim achronim, and then he gets to wash last. Maybe he should wash first so he can clean his hands off. The Gemara assumes the purpose of mayim achronim is because your hands are dirty and it's dangerous to have dirty hands and just be waiting around. So the gadol, the most chashuv guy, should have the longest danger. It's like Mara says, no, Amalei lo masalki tacha mikamei adinamti maya legabe. You wouldn't take away his plate until he got the mayim achronim. So he isn't just like waiting around doing nothing until the mayim achronim cup gets to him. He's still able to eat his meal and be involved like a regular person during their meal. Amarav Sheshes. So that was the way that the Parsai would do things at their meals. Amarav Sheshes, Ana Masnisi Adana. I don't know about the Parsai, but I know what the Brisa says. The Tanya says in the Brisa, Ketzad Seder Hesebah. So some of them are going to be similar and some are going to be slightly different, but very similar idea. Bezman Jain Shtei Mitos. If it's two people, Gadol Misiv Barosh, Vesheni Lo Lamata Hemanu. So here, if the Gadol is going to sit in his spot, the Sheni is going to sit Lamata towards the bottom, tie his feet. So this way he's able to face the guy. He can face him and schmooze with the Gadol. And Bezman Jain Shalosh Mitos. But if it's three, it's going to be the same as the Parsai. That Gadol Mesev Barosh, Sheni Lo Lamad Lahemenu, Beshlishi Lo Lamad Lahemenu. You're going to have the second most chashuv at the head, and the third most chashuv at the bottom, because that's the best way to organize the people in terms of their chashivas. Mayim Yishonim, Maschilim in HaGadol. The person, the Tosedayim, should start with the Gadol. He should be the one who does Mayim Yishonim until said I am first, and my machronim, by my machronim, so there's a little cheshbon. Bizman shehim, hey, if it's five people, maschilim min hagadol, the gadol should do my machronim first, as we said before, that you don't want the guy to be waiting around with dirty hands. But as we're going to spend more of the reason why later, but bizman shehim meya, if there are 100 people, so then we say maschilim min hakatan, ad shemagiyin etzel hey. If there's a lot of people, so really, if a lot of people, you should have more than one washing cup. But if a lot of people and just one washing cup, so then you should start from the katan, as we had said earlier, that we're assuming that the katan will start first. The gadol can continue eating his meal. So you have all 95 people from the 100 should just go from katan to going up, till you get to the final five, the five most chashuv people. And then, the chosenu meschilin min hagadol, then from the last five, then you go from the gadol the most chashuv. And what's the reason really why the gadol should be, I'm doing the mayim achronim first, the gadol should be doing mayim achronim first, because al makom shemayim achronim chozrim sham, right, the guy, when you have those final five, the guy who does the first from the final five, he's the one who the mayim achronim is returned to, he's the first guy, bracha chozeres. He's also the one who's gonna lead the benching, which is misayayale l'rav d'amarav chiyah barashi amarav, kol anot l'yada v'achrona techila hu mezuman l'bracha. Really, it's all because the guy who's gonna lead the benching and do the zimun should also be the first guy to do mayim achronim, and that's why the gadol who's gonna be leading the benching should also do the first guy to do mayim achronim, because those two should go hand in hand. So mayim yishonim, whether it should be the gadol or someone else, again, for nowadays, if the person making the bracha, perhaps he should do it last, even though the gadol should be first, and he's not going to get his table first, so maybe he should do it last, have a smaller hefsek. Mayim achronim, who should be first, perhaps it should be the guy who's going to be doing the zimun, because those two should go hand in hand. The first from mayim achronim should be the one who's going to be leading the benching. Rav and Rabbi Chia, havo yasvi b'seudasa kamedu Rabbi. Rav and Rabbi Chia were at a meal with Rabbi. Amalei Rabbi L'Rav kum mashi yadech. Rebbe said to Rav, go wash your hands. And that got Rav very nervous. Chazed de karmardas. Rav's like, are my hands dirty? Like, is he looking at something that I don't see? Like, is he like calling me out for being a messy eater? So he got a little scared. So Amalei bar pachti, ayin beberchas mezona ka amar lecha. He's just telling you to leave the zimun. He's asking you to go wash your hands, not because your hands are filthy and you have terrible etiquette, but because he wants you to leave the benching. That's why it's important for you to be the first one to do mayim achronim. So we're going to stop over here. Today we spoke about a lot of ideas. Spoke about saying a main your own bracha and different examples of that. We spoke about the berachas ha'oreach, the bracha that an oreach should say when he's a guest at someone's house, and that whole yehi ratzon. Spoke about ad heichan berachas ha'zimun, how much of benching is included in berachas ha'zimun, whether it's just the zimun part or also everything in tol hazan. Spoke about multiple proofs, three proofs about how atova ha'metiv is not de'oraisa, it is for sure de'rabanan. And we spoke about at the end about how different etiquette for benching and who should do what my mishronim first and who should do my mishronim first. Yes, you go.